I want to say this. Two black preachers. And I want to say it to you guys. And I'm going to really get in trouble for this one. In the black community, race has become idolatry. And by that I mean, way too often, if we see some civil right to be gained at the expense of compromising the gospel or anything in the Word of God, what you're saying is this supersedes truth. And I'm saying, for many black people, race, it's an idol. It's like it's the worst sin anybody could ever commit. And it's not. The worst thing that has ever happened, what evil men did to Christ on the cross. So in our community, when I say race has become an idol, and way too many of our churches, we are willing to compromise biblical truth for societal gains or civil rights gains. And we can't do that. As we've already said, it's not going to work. Don't be afraid to confront us when you clearly see we're making a compromise for the truth. I'm really going to get in trouble for saying this one.
But can I jump in there before you say
yes,
that,
sir.
Real quick?
Yes.
If I can speak in the other direction,
yes.
We talked about at the very beginning that these times can be uncomfortable and
yes.
awkward.
Yes.
And so I think for many white, we don't want to be uncomfortable. And so comfort has become an idol.
Right.
You know, we don't want any situation. And so even you guys have spoken to where you disagree and you with maybe the protests or what's going on in those areas. But you do wonder, not that maybe those things are right in and of themselves, but from the white perspective, if it's the scare of comfort being messed up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I can see that creeping in to, like, I don't want to be messed with my comforts,
right.
you know?
Right. So, I'm telling you, man, it's right now what we have, and it's bad. We have angry black folks and guilty white folks. And, you know, white folks, you are afraid to confront us with biblical truth because many of our people are going to throw that racist thing to you. You're a racist. No, you're not. We're both Christians. And this is what the scriptures say. This ain't got nothing to do with color. So
this is where standing in the foxhole with you.
We need to, you know, and so that needs to be made as clear as can possibly be made. Right now, the black church is all too willing to compromise biblical truth for civil rights gains. We need to understand that in the early church, people gave their lives for this faith. They gave their lives defending biblical truth. And so for us to say, well, if I don't compromise with this, I'm not going to get this or that. Boy, how important is it to you then? And so standing up for truth on either side of the aisle, there's probably some negative price to pay, but we must be willing to pay that price. And so it's just something we have to deal with. I mean, I'm dealing with people in my congregation that, you know, I don't care, you know. But, and people are bad. Don't you care about black lives? Yeah. Yeah, I care about Black Lives Matter. But I'm not endorsing that. Yeah. I want you to live, and I don't want people to be brutalized and police brutality. But I'm not going to support that. and support this godless organization at same time. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Not going to do it. So,
what you're essentially saying is you're not going to suppress the truth.
Yeah. No, that's it. And so, honestly, I don't know. Well, many black people, you as a white person, if you read off of their website what I just read, I don't know, man. They might. How do you think they would receive?
Somebody would tell them what they told me. Well, parents, don't that include black men? That's what I was told.
No, fathers are excluded there. Mm-hmm. But you know, you could say that and they'll just, well, you're a racist. Yeah.
And we need to say, no, he is not a racist. He is addressing the text from a biblical perspective,
yes.
Giving biblical truth.
Yes.
It is not racism. And that's why I hate when I'll say something on Facebook and I get all this pushback, and then I get all these private emails and phone calls. Well, I believe, but why didn't you say something?
Yeah. I hope what I said made sense.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, what you're saying, I don't care if you're white or you're black or you're Hispanic, or you're saying we need to speak the truth,
amen,
not suppress the truth. Amen. We need to stand firm as brothers and sisters in Christ, that the truth supersedes it all.
And it's often uncomfortable.
And it's uncomfortable.
And we're going to always be in the minority.
Yes.
That's why I brought up Micaiah earlier.
Yes.
He was one of 400 prophets. He was the only one speaking the truth, and they hated him for it. But them dudes that was lying, they didn't trust them, but they didn't want to shut them up.
Well, before we jump into, I just had one more question. Just I thought it was worthy of our time, but I wanted to come back. I know Jared said something about his son asking a question.
Yeah, we were driving in the car Monday, I think it was, talking about these issues and even the riots and what can be done. And I was thankful the conversation went to the fact that it's around the gospel, and the church needs to model, and the church has the answers, but yet come to the uncomfortable subject of our church being all white and then having churches that are majority are all black, and him asking, you know, the question of, well, isn't that wrong in and of itself? Isn't that, in a sense, the accusation being, aren't you contradicting in a sense? And it just made me think of, is there a reason for that, or is it even helpful that it's that way, or does it depend? Or I admit that I've been chewing on that, and I don't have the answer to that.
I mean, as I just said, I don't know if I have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I can tell you, as I sit, and as you just said that, it's sort of like, I know it's not right, but I can't put my finger on why.
Yes.
Why is wrong?
It's, you know, it's just there's something wrong here, but I can't put my finger on what is it. It definitely doesn't model what you read out of Revelation. Every tribe, tongue, nation, you know. I guess if local churches are, I hope I'm getting it right, are supposed to be a microcosm, is that what we say of the church as a whole? Mm-hmm. I guess we should see some of that in our churches. Mm-hmm. But you said, you know, God gives the increase.
And I mean, I look at our church, our church is a little bit
Paul,
diverse.
I planted, Paulus watered, God they gave the increase. Maybe the problem is what we're planting in water. I don't know.
I mean, you can't put your finger on it, but there's something even in the history of our country, something's there that you can't put your finger on, but there's something that it's not right. There's something not right about it.
But look, and we need to be honest. There are a lot of black churches. They don't have a white member. And they're not out saying, boy, we really need to incorporate some white people into this church.
Well, and that's what I was going to say.
They're not saying that. So there's something wrong with both. I don't know what it is.
And not to toot our horn, but like our church is a little bit more diverse. We got a guy who was Jewish who comes here. You know, so God will grow his church. I think it goes back to what Pastor said earlier. He equips us through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. I go home, I equip my family with the gospel, and then we go out and impact the community. And you just don't know who you're going to impact. I'll give you a good example. I was in the Army. I was in the National Guard. Met a guy. He lives in Texas now. I really wasn't living for the Lord. Me and him got into a conversation about the scriptures. I don't even remember what the conversation was about. But I remember saying to him, man, he said, I said, I can't put my finger up, but what you just told me about the Bible, I don't think that's true. So I called up Deacon Ewing, and I said, can you recommend a Bible I can buy this guy? Now I'm living in sin myself, but I'm like, can you get this guy, help me get this guy a Bible? His name is Andre Stroud. I give Andre this Bible in 2010. I had not heard from Andre until about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He still had the Bible I gave him. It was in his pickup truck. His wife was in his truck. His wife finds the Bible. It's Adrian McNeil. She's thinking Adrian's a woman. So she goes to him and says, who is Adrian? Gave you the Bible? He said, oh, it's an old military friend of mine. He looks me up on Facebook. Now, I ain't talked to this dude here. Now, I planted a seed. I don't know how good the seed it was, but I planted one because I wasn't trying to plant none in my life, but I planted one in his. And 14 years later or so, he calls me up on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, I remember you. So he tells me the story about his wife finding this Bible. He is now a deacon at his church. God will even use the dumb things we do in life. Because like I said, I wasn't living for the Lord at that point in my life. I was just living for self. But for whatever reason, but I'm saying is that God will draw his people to himself.
I'm still ruminating on your question. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to ask ourselves this here. When a white visitor comes, do we make them feel welcome? I mean, are we uncomfortable with it? Are they uncomfortable? So I don't, you know. Then again, when you said you don't have one, not one person of color?
Yeah. Now, I know I've talked to Russ about it. He said they don't send teams, they will come, but they won't stay.
But see, from my perspective, I'm saying, this is what I just, when you said that, I said, really? I'm like, you're kidding me. And I say that not to say you're bad or anything, but because ever since we started this church, we've had white members.
Yeah.
So
that's
with,
what I'm saying. We're
with us, it's like, okay, you know, so, you know, we've always had white members. Now, I must be honest, we've had some families, they left, and I asked them why, and the husband, he was honest and said, he said, I just could, he was uncomfortable having a black pastor, so he said, I had to go. Hmm. And there was another family. He was getting flack at work because he goes to a church where the pastor is black. And so, you know, they left. But many have been here for years. So, and they're just part of the family. It's not even, I mean, brother
so-and-so.
Just so-and-so,
recently,
sister,
God, I mean, added Sister Stacy to our members. I mean, we've yes, had I, just recently.
I just so, here we go again. It's hard to comprehend when that's not your culture. Because when you said not one, I thought he's joking.
No, it's one of those things that, like, I've been there 15 years, actually 17 years or so, and, you know, you have black people, black families that have come in and that have been there for a time, and then, you know, so you definitely question. You question yourself, you question your leadership, you just wonder, like, well, what is it? You know, what is it that
I think many times black folks, it's a culture. I mean, some are, it's not just us that's there, but they're so shallow. The music, you know,
sure.
Stuff like that, which I think at the end of the day is nothing. Because the main thing is, are you getting the word of God here? But you have a lot of shallow people come in. You know, I guess can't deal with the music. Well, was the word good? Yeah. So, and you're going to let music? I mean.
But you got, in our church, you got white folks, I mean, that are going to struggle with the music. You know what I mean? Like, that's just.
Yeah, same thing.
Music's always one of those. But I'm struggling with, I don't want it to be, you don't want to just justify it, though.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's just. Well, no, the Lord's going to grow his church, which, amen, we all agree to that. Yeah. But it's like, at the same time, I want to think about it. I want to pray about it as like leaders.
I'm
like
learning. White folks have music discussions too, huh? A white church? No, they're having disputes about the music? Yeah. Wow, man. See, I'm learning, man.
We do have the same problems.
But you guys got more clapping, I hear. That's the word. Yeah.
That's the problem. See, our music problems are more out there because there's nothing to cover up. The music is different.
Nothing covered up.
No. Yeah. I guess if you have clapping, and you can always kind of make it, some rhythm there.
I'm just, because our musician, she's a white woman. She's been our musician for years.
Oh, since Carol.
Sister Carol.
Sister Carol's been here since.
On Harmont. When we were in the storefront.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's been here since at least 87, 88.
Almost 30. So, and we've had others that have been here. And so, So I don't know, man.
But
your son just played Stump the Pastors, right?
So let me ask you a question then, because this goes back to the role of the church. Should a church make an active effort to recruit any specific ethnic group? Because that's not really one of the missions, is it?
Wow, man. That's another question that I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
And the reason I ask that, and I think I mentioned earlier about Made in His Image, like I'm working with the chapel to try to reach out to their Chinese community to bring them in to be part of what we're doing. Not for they to come join our church, but one time, come join us. I'm also working with a Hispanic pastor talking to me about how to reach out to the Hispanic community in our community, in our area. Not that they'll come and just tell them and be here, but when we do an activity like a Made in His Image, we want them to know that they're welcome.
Okay.
Not our time getting black folks.
See, I'm kind of struggling with that because, I mean, we can preach the gospel to a particular community.
Yeah.
But the regeneration, and that's...
That's God's business.
I don't want to get into... And this is being done. We're going to target this community. And they get some marketing schemes and find out what they like. And, you know, they tailor make their services to fit this particular... See, to me, that's not going to turn a heart to the Lord. So, there we go, another question. Should we specifically target a community and bring them in? I don't know how to do that.
And you're saying in particular a certain type of ethnic community?
Yeah. They could be part of your church.
Yeah.
Okay, we got enough black and white folks in here, but we ain't got enough Asians, so we're going to target the Asian community to bring them in.
The problem with that, though, is this a problem that it appears like almost like...
Checking boxes.
Yeah, like you're trying to make a quota almost, like we're like, okay, we got this community, we got this... We haven't... You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm like, I don't know about that one.
I'm not saying that we should. According to the scripture, God will his...
I'm back to what we said on the other question. I kind of feel like there's something wrong with that. I can't put my finger on it.
Well, let's not end this on a question necessarily, but let's end with, you know, this is hard kind of to project, but you're 61, you're 50, 42. Mm-hmm. And, I'm 38, and how's Pastor Ray?
He's born in 50.
Let's get this right. He's going to see this. 60 what?
66.
Okay. And so 20 years from now, you know, you look back and you ask the question, like, what do you hope the church learns from this moment in history? You know, what do you hope that you can look back and say, praise the Lord, the church learned X, Y, or Z?
I pray that in 20 years... As far as the church is concerned, we don't even have to have this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
in 20 years, it would be one. It would what a testimony to the world if those in the body of Christ, you know, we're not even having this discussion. Because, you know, we've really lived out the gospel. Remember, Paul told Peter, "You're not being truthful to the gospel." You know, when the, you know,
yeah, the old pork chop sandwich.
Yeah, you know, when the Jews weren't there, he was Gentile. When they came, he was, you know, you're not. So I really pray that in 20 years, and I pray that I'm able to see it, that we're really, really living out the gospel. And this discussion is not uncomfortable amongst the brethren in Christ.
Yeah.
Even though, honestly, it's never going to end in the world.
Mm-hmm. No utopias, you said.
Yeah, it's never going to end out there. Yeah. But I think the world, and we'll still have our problems, but I think the world should be able to see a little taste of what the kingdom of God is like
with us. Mm-hmm.
With us. So that's what I hope.
Yeah, man will never accomplish a utopia on earth that one, it'll never happen because it won't happen until Christ returns. Mm-hmm. So I can't even say it the way I want it to say it. We'll never acquire that type of utopia until Christ returns. But as Pastor Kinlow expressed, as all of us, we don't know what this is. With this conversation today, we have no idea what the consequences will be 20 years from now. But we pray and hope that it will draw us closer together, that my children will become friends with your children, and our grandchildren can play together to the glory of God and have fellowship. And so that's where, you know, based on what he's saying, that would be awesome.
They're like, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and if it was all centered on the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what I said, to the glory of God.
Yes.
That, you know, you know, like Pastor talks about all the time from the pulpit, we have to live with eternity in mind. So, like, I'm doing some things in my family right now, and I keep telling my wife, and I've told my children, the things that I'm putting in place right now are not for me, it's not for you, it's for my great-grandchildren, because I'm living with eternity in mind, you know. So the same thing goes with the gospel. I'm trying to pour into the hearts of my children and my grandchildren so that maybe one of them may be the next Dr. Kinlow or Charles Spurgeon or Ray Russ or Mike
Kinlow.
Waters.
Too many issues.
So, well, you just said Psalm 78, where you're passing on your faith to the generations after generations after generations that you won't even be around, and the Lord's going to do his work.
Yep. And so you don't know how this will impact. If God waits another 1,000 years, there may be a person who watches this video and says, man, I'm so thankful that Pastor Jared and Pastor Mike and Pastor Kinlow and Elder A. McNeil sat down and had this conversation, because now I understand. I didn't know how to navigate these waters of racism, but now I have this and I understand, and God has permitted me to see more clearly because the pastors are a gift to the church for the equipment of the saints. So again, you're setting something, you know, in motion that's going to have a greater impact, because we can't see what God is doing.
Amen.
As Brother Tracy Freeman would say all the time, God is always at work in the unknown. You know, I'll just be honest with you. I was a whore of a man. I could not have seen that God was going to turn my heart to the point where I would have a love for my wife like I do. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And these are the things that we need to be honest about. You know, a man can admit, hey, I was still at the drop of a heart, but I heard the gospel from Pastor Jared, and the Lord delivered me from my loving of stealing your stuff. And now I don't steal from nobody. You know what I'm saying? That's what the gospel does. It changes your life. It changes your heart.
I mean, you can only sit around and have these conversations if you truly understand three things, really. One is the depravity of man that we've already talked about. The sin, we're not as sinful as we could be, because there's hedges in our life by God's grace. And then the glory of Christ and the grace he's shown in our four lives. That we can even have this conversation, you know, what could be, and I think what is many times, right, an uncomfortable conversation.
Right.
And I think it's so uncomfortable is because they don't have the answer.
Right.
And we do have the answer, and that's why we can't be silent, and Amen. We can't sit around
Amen.
And not talk about it.
And something that Pastor Kinlow said earlier is that when you do have a conversation, a black person, a white person, the black person has to keep their emotions in check, because talking about slavery can rile up some emotion in you. You start talking about folks getting their feet chopped off the bed because they wanted to be with their wife. But then white folks, you can't let that passion in that conversation cause you to withdraw. Stand your ground, hear them out. Like you said, just hear them out. You know, everything, you know, one of the dark secrets that black folks won't talk about is that whites in Europe could not have enslaved blacks in Africa if other blacks in Africa had not assisted. So it ain't just on y'all. You know what I mean? And we talk about, you know, Egypt. Slavery's in the Bible. The Egyptians were wicked to the Jews. And we don't, most people are, you know, we know, because we're theologians in a sense, but the average person doesn't know that in the Roman Empire, 99% of the people who lived in Rome were slaves. You know, if you wasn't a slave in Israel, you was a, you know, you was a ruling class. Everybody else was a slave. So these are contexts, and I know we're going to close, but let me say that, you know, one of the things that I had to deal with a few years ago was these black Hebrew Israelites. And I have blacks say to me, well, your Bible condones slavery. And I'm like, well, one, you got to understand the slavery that was occurring. I mean, 99% of the population was slaves. That's number one. But the other thing is this, the Bible's perfectly clear that the slavery that occurred in America was sinful, it was wicked, it was wrong. Because the Bible says kidnappers and slave traders will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're an unrepentant slave trader, kidnapper of the American slave trade, and the key word was unrepentant, that man and or woman, no matter of their complexion, is living a life in torment in hell with the wrath of God on their life for all eternity. I do not know what you want the ancestors of a white slave owner who is in hell to do about that. Because to me, the greatest tragedy is that men and women on both sides died separated from Christ and are in hell. The slave trader don't get to go to heaven because he paid for Mamie or some black woman who was his slave to have a pair of good shoes one day. And the black guy who don't know Jesus don't get to go to heaven because he looked at the slave trader one day and said, you know, he got a bad heart. I'm going to sacrifice my life and give him my heart so he can live. No, it's the repentance, it's regeneration, it's the gospel. So we need to tell our brothers and sisters in Christ that, and those who are who find the gospel and the scriptures offensive or don't believe it, that what happened in America is not a biblical way that God would have ordained slavery. Those people, by scripture, should have been executed, put to death.
Under the old covenant.
Oh, the old covenant. Yeah, yes.
Don't give them no ideas.
For clarity. Well, they can't execute them now. They're all dead.
We just want to thank you guys. Amen. I mean, and we want to, we don't want to stop the conversation. We want to continue the conversation and just thank you guys so much for your time. And if we could, why don't you go ahead, Dr. Kinlow, and close us in prayer.
Sure. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for all things. Lord, first and foremost, we always just praise you and thank you for the salvation you have freely given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have been discussing, at the end of the day, the gospel is the answer to all things. And so, Lord, I praise you and thank you that through the gospel I could meet with my brothers in Christ today, and that we could talk honestly about some extremely uncomfortable subjects, yet we can put them in a biblical context and come to an agreement. And so, Lord, I just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, let us all be the salt of the earth and the light to the world in regards to all of these racial issues and discrimination and prejudices. Lord, give us the grace and the mercy, and give us the knowledge through your word for us to rise above these things and be an example to the world how those of different ethnic backgrounds and different skin tones, how it makes no difference because we are all in Christ.
Amen.
Neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I praise you and thank you for my dear brothers and this opportunity. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks again. Lots to talk about, right? Lots to talk about, lots to pray about. And thanks again for watching.
This is Pastor David Kinlow. For more information about the Word of God Community Church, you can call us at 330-454-7313, or you can visit us online, www.ogcchurch. It's really ogcchurch.org. Thank you.
To learn more about the Word of God Community Church, you can find us on YouTube at WOGC space Church and on Facebook at WOGC Church. All are welcome. Please feel free to come and worship with us and fellowship with us and grow in Christ. Amen.